I am going to share with you this morning what I shared with the elders under the tree. Of course, I think I will share a lot more because we sort of introduced the story, told the story, made application of the story, and then sat there, and the questions took longer than the actual message did. And the questions were amazing. And I think Mike probably would do even better. He wrote down many of the questions, and it was good to have Mike there because he was sort of the scribe that kept all these things down and the money straight and these kind of things. And if you were sitting there, and I hope I'm not overstating the case, you can ask Mike if I am, but the questions for the most part came in very rapid fire. And I felt like I was, back in Little League again, and the coach hitting the balls just as fast as he could, and fielding them, and thinking how best to answer these questions. But Luke chapter 15, we're just going to read the first seven verses. It says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans." Remember, the publicans were tax collectors. They were money men and sinners for to hear him. The publicans were despised. They were hated by the Jews. The sinners were, we know Romans 3:23 that says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." This was the riffraff of the day. This was the ones that were despised by the religious, by the church people of the day. Those were the ones that came to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners." You see, the Pharisees were the religious leaders of the day. They were the churchmen of the day. And they were critical of Jesus because he ate with sinners. He received sinners. Verse 3, "And he spoke this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." As I look at this text this morning, and I'm going to move away from my notes and just make an observation that just has hit me as I've studied this and thought more about it since I was under the tree in Bala. But it seems to me that as we look at this passage that there is a disproportionate response, at least not the response that I would expect. Now, if you've got 100 sheep, and as Mike said, I even thought of this as it came out of my mouth. What am I going to say if they say, "Oh, we just let it go"? You know, really, that is a very American view. I mean, that's 1%, right? 1% of the thing. 1%, I mean, anybody in business or all, 1% loss is probably an acceptable loss. I don't know about you, but when I balance my checkbook, I mean, if I'm within 10 bucks, you know, we're good. $1, one penny, forget it. It's not worth the time. And so in our American mindset, 1%, we just let it go. We just forget it. And so we see, first of all, the importance of the one. But then as we look at that text again, that's at the first of the text, at the back of that text, it says that he lays the sheep on his shoulders and he rejoices in that one. But then he goes home. It appears to me this is an arduous journey. This is a difficult journey. It took some work to go find this. It wasn't like, "Oh, well, there he is." This took some work. and he goes back home and he calls everybody together for a big celebration, a big party. We're going to have a big party about 1%. We're going to have a big celebration about 1%. Folks, I believe that Jesus told this story. My wife has a little tradition she does, and I'm thankful she's quit doing it as much. But it used to be I'd be taking a shower, and she would take a cup of cold water and throw it up over the shower curtain and say, "I love you." You know, it was like this last thing where it says he calls a party, it's like a cup of cold water being thrown in your face. Why are you excited about 1%? Can I tell you this morning, it shows the radical love of our God for us. You were one of the sheep that he sought. Can I tell you, sheep do not seek the shepherd seeks the sheep. And if you are a sheep this morning, you are a sheep this morning because God went on a rescue mission. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you. The radical love of our Lord. But not only the radical love of our Lord, the radical laughter or rejoicing of the Lord. It rejoices when he finds the sheep. Now, folks, let me ask you a question. If God rejoices in such a radical manner about one, in the text there it says that the angels of heaven rejoice over the one. Should we not as radically rejoice over the salvation of somebody who has been lost and now is found? But I believe so many times we're sitting under the tree there and Hyrcanah is asking the questions. And he says to me, he says, "I couldn't sleep last night. I was afraid. You have frightened me." And I looked at him and I said, "Good." I said, "You need to be frightened. Why should I want to go to heaven?" These questions, and Mike's got the questions, and I'll leave it to him to share those with you. Just amazing questions. And as we're talking, here's Peter. He's been saved probably 15 years. Man, one of these days I'm going to just share his testimony. It's unbelievable. And the man has given his life to seek the lost sheep of Rendille. In privation, in torture, in opposition. And as we're sitting there talking and they're asking these questions, Peter just stops in the middle of his translation work and he says, "I've never seen these people so open. I've never seen them and heard them ask questions like this. I've never seen such interest." Now, you've got to understand, these men, for the most part, are laying with blankets over their heads. They got these three-legged stools and they either sit on them or put their head on them as the pillow. And you'd be saying something, and all of a sudden, four or five of them just pop up. And then they start asking questions. They've been listening the whole time. But as Peter's translating thing, he's saying, "Wow, this is unbelievable." And then as we walk away, there was just an excitement that Peter had. It was like the fulfillment of the years. An excitement for the soul that had come home. And so we see the radical love of our Lord. We see the radical rejoicing or laughter of not only of our Lord, but of heaven and of other believers. He calls his friends and his neighbors. As I sat there under the tree, wondering what I was going to say to these people, I've got 66 books. What do you share? And I look out and I see hundreds, if not thousands, of sheep and goats all around. There's nothing green to speak of around. They're nibbling at these bushes. Now you've got to remember, the bushes have 1-inch thorns all over them. And so they have to be very careful as they nibble these. Mike's over there sleeping, and there's 4 baby goats all around him, sort of seeing if there's anything to eat on Mike. And I believe it was of the Lord that brought to me Luke chapter 15. Question might be asked. Last year, Pastor Coleman told me, as we went out on the plane together, he said, we spent, and it was sort of a complaint, just be honest with you, it was sort of a complaint. He said, $250,000 has been spent on the Rendille outreach. It's a lot of money for a little denomination, a little mission board. But let me ask you a question. In light of the radical love of our Lord seeking this sheep, in light of the radical rejoicing that we see in the finding of that sheep, in the radical rejoicing of heaven of the repentance of that sheep, is that too much money? How much is too much money? Well, a question could be asked, why spend the money, why spend the time, why spend the effort? In many minds, the Rendille tribe is the least of all the world. They're rather backwards in some ways, other ways not. They don't have much significance in the world order. 12 years ago, many of them had never heard the gospel. Last Sunday, when we went around to the 6 different gobes, there was a couple of them said, yes, we've heard this message before. It's a good message, and we received that message. Now, who knows what that actually means? But then others would say, we've not heard this message before, but it is true. We ate with these people. We slept with these people. We rested with these people. We talked with these people. Perhaps some people would look down. They had arranged that Mike and I should have baths. They have absolutely no water. They were going to arrange for us to have a bath. Mike and I said, we can't have a bath when these people don't have water. We wanted to enter into their sufferings and into their privations. And some may have looked down on us for that, but I'm going to rejoice because the scribes and the Pharisees murmured when they saw Jesus receiving sinners and eating with them. He ate with sinners. How about you? How about us? As I look through the book of Luke, it's amazing to me how many events revolve around meals and Jesus eating meals with sinners. When was the last time you had a meal and invited a sinner? Or went to a restaurant with a sinner? I'm coming to think that maybe the Lord has a model there that perhaps we need to follow and look into. This morning, my desire, but most importantly, God's desire, is that we not be like the Pharisees, but like Jesus. You know, we look at this, and this is sort of a cute little parable. That lost sheep, Mike and I both got our pictures taken with a little sheep. I did that purposely, actually. Someday I want to use that. And I was holding the sheep. In fact, I think it was Mike that got to hold the sheep that was the next sacrifice in that tribe. And we look at those sheep and we think that's a cute thing, but when we look at the text here, it says, talks about that lost sheep. The word for lost there is the same word that is used in John 3:16, where it says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. The lost sheep, that word lost is the same word as the perish in John 3:16. And so we could translate it, the perishing sheep. The perishing sheep. The sheep that is headed for destruction. A sheep that cannot find its way. A sheep that has no water supply, that has no food supply, no ability to find its way. Some may have heard, and I was a little bit surprised that Mike didn't share. It seems to be the first story he likes to tell, is not the parable or the story of the lost sheep, but the story in the parable of the lost pastor. During the middle of the night one night, I had to get up and go check the weather. That's an euphemism, and you might have to think a little bit on that, what that means, but we'll just leave it there. So at 5 o'clock in the morning, I go out to check the weather. It is dark. Now, the stars are out, but it is dark. And to check the weather, you leave the village. You go outside the camp. And you try to go out this camp some distance so that you won't encounter other people. And after I had finished checking the weather, I came back. And I saw the shadow of the huts and thought I knew which way I was going. And soon there were no huts. And I walked for about a half an hour, and I could not find my way back. I was growing tired, and I had a little roll of toilet paper, and I put it on the ground, and Jacob has his rock, and I had my toilet paper. And I laid down there till the sun came up, and I said, I can see now, I will look. I looked around, I wasn't quite sure where I was, but there was one black man with his eyes to the ground, and just looking intently at the ground, walking along, and there was another black man with a flashlight. And he soon saw me and said, "There he is." The first black man, Nacha, was following my footprints. And I had left the village, and I had gone into the wilderness. I was lost. And there were those that came to seek and to find me. From then on, they put a guard on me. Some may have had concern, and I suppose that my being lost could have turned into a big problem. I think I could have found my way back. I'm glad that I didn't have to test that theory. But that kind of lostness is not the lostness that is in view here. This is the lostness of absolute and utter hopelessness. The lostness of absolute and utter inability. The lostness of absolute hopelessness. And we see the love of the shepherd, the concern for that one individual, that one sheep. Ultimately, the sheep shepherd not only searches for the sheep, and I understand that we are mixing the pictures here, but the shepherd not only finds the sheep, but the shepherd gives his life for the sheep. We see the rescue in verse 4 of the sheep. But in verse 5 we see that, "And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing." We see here that the shepherd is rejoicing, but I would submit to you that the sheep was resting upon the shoulders with great joy and satisfaction. As Hyrcanah, and I don't know, I don't know how this translates, but it translates, I believe, in every language. As Hyrcanah says, I believe in Jesus. He is the true sacrifice. He is the true firstborn son. And nothing or no one can get me to deny him. And he reaches up his hands and his face has got the biggest smile on it. And he's going like this. He's reaching his hands up to heaven and praising God. And folks, when the shepherd has found us, there is a rest and a peace that comes. And so we have the rescue of the sheep. We have the rest of the sheep. We have the relief of the sheep. Hyrcanah, the man that made the profession, he said, my fear is gone. The head man, he's kind of a neat individual. As we were talking, he's sitting back behind me, and all of a sudden, he butts in and he starts jabbering away, very animated. And he said, if what you say is wrong, your blood will be, our blood will be upon your head. And I said, head man, have I said anything different than I said 10 years ago? He said, no, you said the same thing. I said, you are right. If what I am telling you is wrong, your blood will be upon my head. But it is not my tradition. It is not my word. It is God's word. It is the word of God. And so we see the rescue. We see the rest. We see the relief. And then we see the rejoicing. The shepherd's rejoicing. The neighbor's rejoicing. Heaven's rejoicing. The people of God, I believe, in heaven rejoicing. And so what is the conclusion of the matter? If there is such a radical love of God for the lost, may we be radical in our love for the lost. Let us be active in the rescue of the lost sheep. And yes, I've gone to Rendille, and folks, my heart is in Rendille, and I love the Rendille people, but my heart is in Lakeland, and I love the people. And the people in Lakeland need to know the Lord and love the Lord and rest in the Lord, just like the people in Rendille need to know the Lord and love the Lord and rest in the Lord. And God's people, whether they be in Bala or in Lakeland, need to be active in the rescuing of the lost sheep. We don't know who God's sheep are. We don't know who God's elect are, but we do know that God has commanded us to command all men everywhere to repent. It is said that the great preacher C.H. Spurgeon said, if I knew who the elect was, I'd go and pull it, and they had a yellow stripe down their back. I'd go around pulling up shirt tails and looking and then preach the gospel to him. But he said, they don't have any such stripe on them, and so I preach the gospel indiscriminately and say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We seek all men, whether it's a good news club or support of the mission, the Lakeland Lighthouse Mission, or the Women's Choice Pregnancy Center, whether it be as we go to a funeral and share the Word of God with people that we know are without Christ and perhaps are receptive at this time. Jesus said to go into our Jerusalem, into our Judea, into our Samaria, and into our uttermost parts of the world. And I would ask you this morning, do you have the love that God has for sinners? Do you have the radical love that He has? And do you seek to share? Do you seek to pray? Do you seek to encourage people? Who are you seeking this day? Who is in your heart and mind, oh God, be merciful to this sinner? And lastly, not only can we rejoice for sinners that have been found, can we rejoice that we've been found, that you've been found, I got to fly on that big, beautiful 777 Boeing jetliner. Beautiful airplane. Going over 700 miles an hour. Cruising at 39,000 feet. But I also got to go on that little airplane, that one. Have you ever thought what happens when that one air, when that one engine quits? But we flew over, and it was low enough, I think it said it was 12,000 feet, that you could see the people on the ground. You could see the huts and the houses on the ground. And you think of the mass of humanity that is all over this world. And God chose you. And God sent Jesus for you. And God sought you. That ought to get you a little excited. And that ought to motivate you to share the gospel with others. Let us pray. Father, thank you for saving me. Lord, forgive me for not having the radical desire and the radical compulsion that we see in the Good Shepherd here. But Father, we ask that you would change our hearts, that you would change our lives, that Father, we would want to share with people because we see that they're perishing. We see that they're lost. Lord, we ask you that you would give us the ability to throw out the lifeline. That we would see those that are in peril. And that, Lord, we would pray for them. That we would share with them. That we would encourage them. Father, thank you for our salvation. Thank you for the opportunity that Mike and I had. Thank you for the people that made it possible for me and Mike to go. We pray for Hakana. We pray for the headman. We pray for Beliza. We pray for Peter and James. We pray for those that are there serving the Lord, the teachers at the school. Oh, Father, do a mighty work there. Lord, may you even send missionaries from there to here. We'll give you the thanks and praise in Jesus' name.